I want to thank everyone for praying for Guam this week as North Korea has threatened, maybe you've heard, to launch four missiles this week. They actually put a date on it. And Guam is being has been threatened for 60 years by North Korea. But this is different because, as you know, this is the first time they actually have a warhead to put in a rocket. I've spoken to our leaders there. Everyone's fine. Tourism is up. No one's really rattled. They're used to this. It's funny. There are no domestic flights in Guam because it's only 30 miles long and 5 to 9 miles wide. And but anyway, no one. I was talking to them. I said, "Well, is anyone getting on a flight to go to Manila?" They're like, "No, we're all here." They all seem to be doing well, and they're putting their hope and faith in God first, and then secondly, our military defenses. We do have a THAAD defense rocket there, along with patrolling naval ships that are fully equipped. We also have the aid of Japan, if need be. So anyway, pray for Guam, if you would. Thank you for that. I would also ask just that we would pray for North Korea. Y'all realize there are millions and millions of innocent North Koreans in that nation that are unconnected to that regime. And so, you know, God forbid this whole thing goes sideways, but just pray for the innocent North Koreans that are held hostage by a most evil and sinister, inhumane regime. Because if they launch on us, it's going to put them in harm's way through collateral damage. So God have mercy. So I've had that on the brain all week, and I thought I would transition from the physical military warfare that we watch and read about so often to take this over into the spiritual realm today under the guise of manage your warfare. Manage your warfare. And the presupposition is you have to start that there's even a theology of warfare. I know growing up here when I was first saved 30-something years ago, and some of the prophetic warfare camps, it was kind of a trendy topic in America. But you go overseas, if you don't have a theology for it, it's in your face, and you learn very quickly. We don't obsess with those things, and we're not taken by it or smitten by it, but it's very much a reality in the spiritual arena. And so managing our warfare is somewhat synonymous with managing our soul. In Luke 21:19, in the NCV version, it talks about continuing to have faith that you may save your lives. In the NIV, by standing firm, you will gain your life. But I love the King James that talks about possess ye your souls. Possess ye your souls. And this particular rendering in Luke 21, the backdrop and the context of this is nation rising up against nation, kingdom against kingdom, earthquakes, famines, persecution, being brought before kings and governors, betrayal from family, relatives, friends. Then it talks about being haters. Of course, we know Taylor Swift already gave us a heads up. The haters are going to hate, hate, hate. So we're already privy to that. We know that. It talked about there would be signs in the heavens. You know, and it sounds apocalyptic, but I mean, there are interesting times that we're in. People say, "Do you think we're in the end days?" I say, "Well, I think we've been in the end days for 2,000 years. You know, where we are on that continuum, I don't know, but there are a lot of things prophetically that do stack up. Israel becoming a nation in 1948, but heaven's going to retain him until the restoration of all things. Every nation has to hear the good news, every ethnos, every people group, until the return of the Lord. So I think we could possibly hasten his coming through our obedience to get the gospel to every people group in the earth. But it says, even the heavens, there'll be signs in the heavens. There's a lot that's written about. It's really funny. I mean, you read everything under the sun. Y'all know about this total eclipse that's coming up here shortly. But it is interesting that the last time there was a total eclipse, solar eclipse, over America exclusively was 1776. So if you want to make that, spiritualize that, go ahead, help yourself. But I would love to think that God would hit a reset button, that he's up to something amazing. But for our position, while we're here in the daily grind, possess ye your souls, manage our warfare. Verse 18 In view of this backdrop of nation rising up against nation, kingdom against kingdom, pestilence, famine, it says in verse 18, but not a hair on your head will perish. Now, you may have a hair jump off, but you know, but it's saying here, you know, 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand. But there is a covenant, a promise for the people of God that lean on that. And then verse 19 says, possess your souls. In other words, keep it, manage it. And one of the greatest skills and graces we can walk in is managing our warfare. It comes to all. People don't sign up for it, but it can be managed. Not only managed, overcome. So we're exhorted to manage it, thus breaking through it. But one of the first step-ups in this exercise is to admit there even is such a thing as warfare to contend with. Again, it's not to be glorified. It's not to be obsessed over. Matter of fact, the Bible says, be innocent in what is evil. When I was a student at State in the summer, when my friends were lifeguarding, I would work at Wachovia as a teller because I was thinking I was going to go back into the banking world after college and get into the bank of my choice. But they never told us to study counterfeit. They said, you will handle so much of the real every day that when something of a foreign substance comes across your hands, you'll identify it. And again, we're not to obsess with our adversary. I think we live close enough to the Lord and go after God in a consistent way. When there's strange fire or when there's an outlaw spirit, we would easily identify it. Amen? And so, again, we're not to be given but with these things, but we do want to be aware so that we can equip ourselves as to prevail in life. Don't have to be an expert, but we do need to admit that we do have an adversary. And I think that there are multitudes of people that would be set free merely at the discovery that there is an adversary that doesn't like them very much. I mean, when you finally realize that there's a true foe and it's not merely you, then for the first time you're able to cut yourself a break and go, so all this time I've had an adversary? So all this time there's been one that wants to steal, kill, and destroy, wants to harass, wants to rip off. There's one that's truly trying to buffet and to interfere. So, and then all of a sudden you have a aha moment, and there's a liberation, I think, in that. That theology alone can be ground zero in dismissing many, many things we chalk up to ourselves or just life. But if a person is constantly harassed, beaten down, whether emotionally, spiritually, mentally, in some cases physically, yet is unaware there's a proactive enemy, then they simply can wrongfully deduce, well, I guess it's just me. And how many of you know the enemy loves that? When you own it and go, well, I guess that's just me, or I guess that's my lot, or just keep your head down and just try to do your best to push through another day. I mean, no doubt there are millions upon millions of North Koreans that are totally unaware that right over their southern border, there are cell phones, there are cars, there's real estate, there's plenty of food, recreation, freedom, that right over that southern border there are individual rights, the ability and privilege of having a real life. They don't know because they're held down by a tyrant. But I tell you what, I mean, it's just like Western and Eastern Europe. I mean, when they got a little taste of what was on the other side of the wall, they're like, well, dear me, I think I'd like to have a little bit of that. And then it was easy for the indigenous folk to tear the wall down themselves because they're thinking there's freedom on the other side of that. I mean, I thought this was all there was, or I thought this was me, but there's actually the ability for a breakthrough, you see. So there is an adversary. Yet awareness is not synonymous with obsession, but we do need to be mindful. Paul told the Corinthians in 2 Corinthians 2:11, he said, for we are not unaware of his schemes. The first part of the verse speaks of us not being outwitted by him. In other words, a contest of wits. When it says, in order that Satan might not outwit us. Y'all know I'm a movie guy. I love to preach off. There, you know, you can find truth anywhere. You can find in creation. You can go into an art museum. You can find truth there. You can find it in literature. You can find it in poetry. You can find it in entertainment, in the movies. But at any rate, one of my favorite movies is called Spy Game with Robert Redford and Brad Pitt. It came out in 2001. Some of y'all have maybe have even tuned into the series Turn. Have y'all been anyone been watching Turn? About the covert devices used in the Revolutionary War. It's absolutely fascinating, the tricks that Washington would use. I mean, it's really fast. You would think they were really using that back then. I mean, it's really quite interesting. But to this movie, Spy Game, it deals with tradecraft and trickery. Because the premise of the movie, it's based off the CIA, which of course deals with lying and falsehood. And those that are trained professionals at just that, lying. What do you do for a living? I lie. What do you do? I'm not just a liar. I'm a trained liar. I'm a good liar. I can beat the polygraph. I can control my body rhythms. I can look you right in the eye and not flinch. I'm trained. I'm good at it. And on the cosmic level, we know theologically and biblically that there is one, the devil, who is a liar and the father of lies. Yet somehow practically we forget that, and his flaming lying arrows stick us and stick in us, and we unknowingly embrace it as reality. When in reality, we were faked out. When in reality, we were tricked. There was enemy tradecraft involved. In other words, fake news, as it were. It was sleight of hand, trickery. There was smoke and mirrors. Yet it felt so real. Have you ever latched onto something you thought was so real later to discover that was smoke and mirrors? That was an air bubble. That was a creation of my imagination. I just let myself go without any discipline whatsoever. How in the world did I get there? I mean, and guess who's in the wing just volunteering to whisper and fill in the blanks to the idleness of our thought? But it felt so real. But we rise up and we mount up realizing this warfare is played out on a different playing field with a whole different set of rules. And Ephesians 6 refers to this different set of rules as schemes. Can you say schemes? You mean he's a schemer? Well, that's not fair. Well, no, we've been given a heads up so as to understand how the game is played. If I were to say your enemy is crouched down hiding behind that potted plant out there, then based on intelligence, based on knowledge, you're all the wiser and can conduct yourself on how you're going to maneuver based on that bit of information. But again, if we're clueless and there's no theology for it, we'll just think, what a bonehead I was. I just ran into their billy club. I mean, it's not them, it was me. No. And we can avoid the sucker punch based on knowledge. But even if a flaming arrow of a lie or accusation or falsehood based on tradecraft, even if it gets through, there's still a way to disarm it and pull it out. So the first and second steps in winning in warfare is admitting that there's such a thing and then identifying your adversary. Thirdly, it's understanding his MO of trickery, lies, and schemes, i.e. how he works. Fourthly, it's being trained in the weapons of our warfare. So number one, admitting and acknowledging. Again, if we don't have a theology of warfare, if we're not cued in that there's an adversary, then we could be a bullseye or a sitting duck for things that are coming our way that aren't just us or aren't merely just life. It's a discernment issue. So admitting and acknowledging it. Secondly, identifying it. Thirdly, understanding it, the trickery of it. And then fourthly, training. Being trained in the weapons of our warfare. And Ephesians 6:10 begins the classic understanding of a training portion of managing our warfare. If you'll go over there with to the book of Ephesians 6. Now, Paul said that all scripture is inspired by God and profitable. It's profitable for teaching, for correction, righteousness, and for reproof. And so it's to our profit that the scriptures come to us to give us a heads up so that we'll know what we're up against, not to induce fear, but to give us a step up of how to take the enemy out and prevail in life. So he's given us the answers to the test, as it were. It's an open book test. He's saying, this is at your right, this is at your left, but I'm telling you about it on the front end, and here's how you press through and prevail and overcome in those scenarios. So you're familiar with this in Ephesians, Ephesians 6. Join me in verse 10. Finally, Paul said, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of the dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you've done everything, to stand. Stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation, which is the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. Lord, speak to our hearts, change our lives. We pray, God, in Jesus' name, amen. This is quite a recipe right here. We could unpack one feature on each one of these verses and just do a whole series on one verse because it's so full. But there's a cocktail here that's rich and it's full. If we can extract from it, what does that mean? How do I apply that to get a step up on the enemy of my soul? I mean, just at a mere glance, verse 10, be strong in God. Verse 11, put on his armor, take your stand. Verse 12, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood. So it's cueing us in that there's actually a struggle so that we're not psyched out and intimidated when we find ourselves in the struggle as if something's wrong. Remember, Peter said, don't be surprised when, or think it strange when you endure certain trials. And so when you understand there is a struggle or there is a measure of wrestling, all right, well, that's baked into the cake. Oh, well, good to know. I thought maybe there was just something skewed on how I look at life. Verse 13, therefore, put on God's armor. 14, stand firm, stand your ground. 16, use your faith as a shield. 17, take the helmet, protect your mind. Again in 17, use the word intentionally. 18, pray in the Spirit, pray in the Holy Ghost. Don't be filled with the Spirit and not use it. It is a mighty weapon. And if you're getting hit, try praying in the Holy Ghost 30 minutes a day. Try praying an hour a day in the Holy Ghost and see if something doesn't shift. I mean, this is just one ingredient in a big stew. I mean, but there are all kind of antidotes here for the believer. Pray in the Spirit. 18, be alert and not gullible. Also in 18, pray for others, the saints. So again, we could park on any one of these verses and be here all afternoon. But it's quite a recipe for deliverance and victory and warfare. And I would encourage us to take this passage, this whole passage in Ephesians 6, and read it very slowly. Intentionally, just go through it line by line so that we'll know what we're up against, so we'll know what to do, and so we'll know how to prevail. It's all contained. and this is just one passage of many in the biblical record. But I would encourage us just to move very slowly through this passage and truly muse on the ingredients and every directive so it can sink in deeply. It's a sure recipe for waging an effective warfare. Be strong. Put on armor. Take your stand. Wrestle to be free. Stand firm. Use your faith. Protect your mind. Hold on to your righteousness. Cling to truth. Receive peace. Use the word. Pray in the spirit. Be alert. Hold up others. No, no, no. No, no, no. Touche. It's full of antidotes. It's the help of the Lord so we're not left to our own thoughts. So we're not left to our ability to figure it out. And then when we realize, oh, there's an adversary. Oh, he's given to tradecraft. Oh, there's trickery. Oh, he doesn't like me very much. Oh, I got to have skin in the game. I have to take principles and apply them. And I have to be in the fight. And that's not a bad thing. This is very similar to 1 Peter 5:8, when Peter exhorted, be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking, looking for someone to devour. Now, he's like a lion prowling, but he's not a lion. Jesus is the lion of the tribe of Judah. But because of this prowling characteristic, Peter says, be alert, not paranoid, not obsessing. We want to be innocent in what is evil. We're going to obsess with the King. We're going to obsess with Jesus. We're going to focus and fear Him only. Amen? But be alert that these realities are true. If this week, because they're saying it's, quote, supposed to happen this week, we'll realize whether it's a bluff or not. But if this week North Korea launches the four missiles they threatened against Guam, the moment they are launched, our military will take them out. The moment. They will intercept them. It's important to get them on the ascent based on the slow speed. But the reality here is that it only takes 14 measly minutes until they would reach Guam, and our military is not going to allow that to happen. They're not going to allow that to happen. Matter of fact, I was looking at the front page of the Pacific Daily News in Guam, and that's the headline, 14 minutes, North Korea considers mid-August attack plan against Guam. 14 minutes. How many of you know a lot of times 14 minutes, it comes, it goes, we don't even know what day it is. Hello? 14 minutes is nothing. It's nothing. And so they started, or the military rather stated that the best time to destroy any missile is the initial ascent, because again, it's at the slowest speed. So don't let it arc and crest. Don't let it descend. And certainly don't let it land. In other words, don't give it a chance. So again, 1 Peter 8 and 9 reads, be self-controlled and what? And alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion for someone to devour. But we are to, verse 9, we are to resist him. Can you say resist him? So some people stop at the fact that there's an adversary, he doesn't like us, and that sure isn't fun. But no, God is calling us into the arena of warfare. He's going to induct us into the spiritual military and say, I'm going to take him down with your help. I'm going to take him down with your partnership. My word in your mouth is going to intercept that goofy thought, that accusation, that lie, and you're going to have skin in the game. You're going to wrestle a little bit. You're going to feel the buffing of it, but I'm going to allow you to prevail in partnership with me. And again, he's given us instruction, resist him, standing firm in the faith, because you know that your brothers throughout the world are undergoing the same kind of sufferings. In other words, it's not merely just you. So resist him, stand firm. Again, James 4:7 is similar when it says, submit yourselves then to God, Resist the devil and he will what? He will flee. I submit myself to God. I worship God. We live clean before the Lord. His blood is applied to our lives. And in that context of righteousness and through that place of authority, it's not gullible or presumptuous to push back. People think, well, if I push back, that'll rile them up and get mad and then I'm picking a fight. No, the fight's on. The fight is on. Say the fight's on. It's on. It's already been picked. The fight is on. There's already a line drawn in the sand. Now, again, we're not to be preoccupied with this. We're preoccupied with God. But upon detection, when you discern the tradecraft, the trickery, the lie, the accusation, you go, aha, enough. I will not be tormented by that. I will not be harassed by that. I will not believe that. I will not take that. Enough already. And it may get to the point where you rise up and actually put on a song of praise. Go figure. Well, I ain't feeling it. Well, then go on and just be miserable. I mean, retain your right to be miserable. Or you could say, like Judah, we're going to be put on the front of the army and confuse the ambushments of the enemy and see if God won't work through my praise to scatter my enemy. Or praying in the Holy Ghost. Who would think? Are you baptized in the Holy Spirit? Yeah. You ever use it? Well, I did 20 years ago when I had that experience up at that altar. Thank be unto God. Well, you might want to pull out that, you know, that bad boy. You know what I'm saying? The gift of God. It's a gift to be used, stirring ourselves up. And it breaks the funk, that pig pen that's around here. These weapons are useful. That's why we manage this stuff. There's a way out, according to Ephesians 6. But we'll have skin in the game. We're going to be involved in the fight, but it's a good fight. I mean, we're flanked on every side. They were interviewing the governor, and he just said, look, we're doing fine. You know, we're glad that our military is strong and that, you know, you're at the helm, yada, yada, yada. In other words, we're going to be just fine. Tourism hadn't blinked. Matter of fact, I'm thinking, is my airfare, is it going to go down because of the threat? Or will it actually go up because it actually put Guam on the map for the first time? No one knows where it is. You know, like, what is it? You know, where is it? Who are those folk? You know. And so they're going forward. Love that. So submit to God and then resist. Can you say resist? Sometimes a lot of us can walk around with arrows of the enemy stuck all over us. And we can think it's normal. We can think it's somewhat normative. Get a little visual aid up here. And it's funny because, again, if there's not a theology of it, we'll just think, well, that's just life. Oh, well, that's just me. And so, you know, we're walking around like this. Now, how's your day going? Oh, it's been going pretty good. Yeah, we're good. How's your day? Good. And then someone says, you got a little appendage, you know, coming. What are you talking about? No, this just me. No, it's all good, you know. And so, I mean, just all kind of, you know, up in the heart, you know. And we kind of get, you know, maybe a little bit used to it, as it were. And again, we're owning it and just assuming it's just part of who we are. You know, it'll always be there. This mindset, this way of thinking will always be there. And so we just kind of own it as if it's a part of who we are, just an appendage, and we just kind of acquiesce to that. But it's not to be conceded to that, and it certainly can be plucked out, but we can accept it. But no, we acknowledge, we identify, we understand, we train, and we resist. And in Ephesians 6:16, in addition to this, it says, take up, in other words, be proactive. Again, you know, whether it's evangelism, whether it's warfare, it's the grace of God, but we've got a hand on it. People get confused. Like, if I'm trusting God, I'll leave it all. There are times when God would say, stand and behold the salvation of your God. This is a freebie. Just be still and wait and behold what God does. Other times, he's like, I need your partnership. I want your will involved. I want to see some sanctified struggle on your part, the little bit of the wrestling to push through. And so in verse 16, it says, in addition to this, take up, there's the action, it's proactive, take up the shield of what? Faith, with which you can what? extinguish all the what? Flaming arrows of the evil one. So we can then do the math. All right, arrows will come. They're flaming arrows. You ever been hit by a fiery dart? A lie, an accusation, a mindset, hopelessness, whatever it may be. I'll never, I could never, I guess this is just the way it is. And just kind of fatalism and settling, you see. And so again, he's like, no, there's a shield. It's anointed. It's rubbed with the anointing of God, with your faith. And according to this, it'll extinguish one or two that kind of sneak through the umbrella of the defense system. No, it says, according to this, unless Paul is bloviating, it says it'll extinguish all the fiery, flaming arrows of the evil one. And even if one gets through, it can still be plucked out. But it says it'll extinguish all. So there's a faith involved to keep it from hitting. Due alertness, due to being aware, due to being conscious of this reality. Amen? Michael, come up here if you would. If you got a Bible, I know it's on your phone. I want to give him a physical Bible. So, you know, he's minding his own business. You know, I'm going to try to press in. I'm going to try to obey God. And that's really great. And then all of a sudden, he didn't sign up for it. But there is an adversary. There's an adversary. There's an enemy. There's a foe. He's trying to be nice Christian. I just want to be nice. I'll be nice Christian. I mean, I'm not picking fight. I'm just nice. But out of the blue, but there's one who's already picked a fight. And now they say, oh, he's in that word. Oh, he's trying to take steps toward God. Oh, he's wanting to really obey. And now he's now he's wanting to have some serious impact. Oh, he wants to reach students. Oh, well, help yourself. Now here comes the fiery dart. It's going to try to hit him, whether it be self-doubt, confusion, or I don't know, double-mindedness. You know, but what's he got in his hands? He's got some word there. The Bible says a shield of faith. So come on, help me, Mike. You're not going to let that thing penetrate, are you? Do some of that. Well, no, just hold that Bible up. Hold that Bible up. Close it first. You can close it. Now block it at every bam. No, I'm going to come in this angle. Bam. I'm coming in the back door. No, I'm coming around the side door. Come on. No, here. Come on. Ho. You know? In other words, we got to have a little skin in the game. Where are you going? Hey. You know, so there's a little bit of action on our part. There's a little bit of skin in the game. Instead of, I got hit today. I got hit. I had some meditations today that... And it's like, how you doing? Fine. Well, no, you're not. Come over here. We're going to cut the trip wires and detangle that mess. No, let's pull that bad boy out. Now be the wiser. He's over behind the bush. I'm just trying to be nice. No, there's a fight. I didn't sign up for fight. You did. Read the fine print. But it's a good fight. There's skin in the game. And so we exert. There's a resistance to bring to the equation. Give him something to work. I mean, when I'm dealing with people that are not atheists but agnostic, I'm like, will you do something on your part to give God a shot at it? Will you read something? Will you go to a seminar? Will you attend a meeting? Will you dare say, God, if you're there, show me in a way that I will know? Will you take the risk to have skin in the game? You see, it says the shield of faith can quench every fiery dart of the enemy. And if one gets through, and how many of y'all know many times there are things that get through, just the human can do, but we can pull it out. Maybe we need our roommate. Hey, pull this bad boy out of me. Pour some water of the Holy Ghost on this. Bandage it. Bring that balm of Gilead. Let's get this thing out. I am sick and tired of being sick and tired. I am tired of thinking this way. It's like a rut of thought, a rut of thought, a rut of thought. And sometimes we need someone else to disentangle that, you see. But we don't live with it as normal. We don't accept. We acknowledge. We identify. We understand. We train. We submit to God. Then we resist. And we are in the driver's seat through Christ. We've been given divine power with the authority to bind and loose. It's not physical, it's spiritual. 2 Corinthians 10, Paul said this in verse 3 through 5. He said, "For though we live in the world, we do not wage as the world does." We don't war as the world does. He goes on to say, "The weapons we fight with are not the conventional, typical, traditional weapons of the war of the world. Ours are spiritual. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds." Your weaponry is not guns and knives and bazookas. Your weapons are spiritual, but it's not like just a little cupcake. No, divine power. Can you say divine power? Though you can't see them, though it may be a weapon of humility, it may be a weapon of prayer, it may be a weapon of praise, it may be a weapon of intercession, it may be a weapon of confessing the word, it may be a weapon of training yourself in righteousness. I am the righteousness of God through Christ Jesus. Bless God, I am a son, I am an heir, a joint heir. How dare anyone lay any charge against God's elect? And being groomed in our righteousness, I am a son, I am a daughter. How dare you? You see, so they're spiritual in nature, but they have divine power. So then, therefore, we're not merely tolerating it. Well, I guess that's me. Well, I guess that's my lot. No, divine power to remove it. Divine, say divine power. In other words, we've got this arsenal, these nukes, and the foe is coming to a nuke demonstration with a pocket knife. In other words, he's unmatched. You don't take a knife to a gun show, right? I mean, in other words, divine power. We don't war as the world does. We're not duking it out. We're not carnal. We're spiritual, you see. And so we learn these things as we're in the grind. But it says they have divine power to demolish strongholds. And then it goes on to say we demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive what? We take captive what? We take captive what? Where does warfare happen? In your pinky? We take captive every thought. We don't have thoughts in our elbow. We don't have thoughts in our knee. We have thoughts, that gray matter between our ears. That's the arena of the warfare. We take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ Jesus. We make judgments. God would never say that. Therefore, I'm not going to believe that. And then we thought, what happened? We just got off the word. We got off our position. We let our praise sag. Maybe we pulled out of community. All the things that are listed in that recipe in Ephesians 6, they're there at our disposal for our benefit. What are we going to do with the flaming arrows? Many times, again, if there's no theology that there even is an adversary, I tell you what, Toys R Us, aren't they? I mean, what are we going to? I mean, when something's coming your way. And I thank you, Brian. Yeah, good, good. You know, something's coming your way. You're not going to just be duh-duh about it. There you go. You know? And so, but a lot of times we're going through life. And it's almost we prophesy. Here it comes. Here comes the funk. Here comes the depression. I can feel it. I went on campus. It's hard to do. It's Monday in the marketplace. Here it comes. I can't wait till Friday. Here it comes. And then we walk around all week like this. We know it's coming, but these folks knew enough instinctively. I mean, even our body is designed. Something's thrown, you'll twitch. I mean, even if you don't know it, your peripheral vision, you'll react. You'll twitch. In other words, I don't want to get hit. It's just raw self-preservation. I don't want to get hit. And so we duck it. So you start tomorrow morning. It's Monday. And all of a sudden, someone had a bad weekend. And they bring an attitude. You know, and we go ahead and we sign up for it. Here it comes. It's going to be a long one. We block it. You go, no, bless God, I'm here. Wherever the tread of my foot goes, he's given me the land. The kingdom is within. I bring the kingdom with me. I'll be the one to set the thermostat. And I'm going to have a little skin in the game to rise up and to be involved in this whole arena of warfare. It's real, but we're not intimidated by it. It's genuine. There's an adversary, but we don't obsess with him. But we've been given some antidotes of what to do. Our challenge is to take them up. Read slowly through the armor. And however the application fits for you. It may be a confession sheet. When we began in our faith years ago, we would have a confession sheet. All the scriptures that have to do with righteousness. All the scriptures have to do with boldness. All the scriptures have to do with provision. All these scriptures that have to do with protection. And just begin to quote. Isn't that what Jesus did when the devil tempted him in the wilderness? He said, it is written. He didn't say, I'm Jesus. Come on, leave me alone. This enough. No, he had to take word. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. In other words, if he did it, how much more do we do it? That means I got to get my praise on. That means I've got to turn the other cheek, move in humility. It means I got to get my prayer on. I got to know who I am in Christ. I'm a son. That breastplate of righteousness, all the vital organs are under the breastplate. I've got to let my righteousness exclude that which would penetrate. I mean, you get shot in the arm, you can live. You get shot through the heart, no. It's important that we know that we know I am loved of God. I am a son. I am a daughter. It's so important. And we take time like a cow, musing, chewing the cud, chewing, chewing, chewing until the nickel drops. Aha, I've been ripped off, but no more. No, 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 no more. And he's going to help me. Lord, I just pray over us, stand together. Lord, I just pray for that belt of truth. Lord, you said we'll know the truth and the truth would set us free. Lord, we shod our feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Lord, the gospel worked when we got saved and it's still working to transform us now, producing the fruit of peace, that breastplate of righteousness, knowing who we are. Therefore, there is now no condemnation to those who are in Christ. You've already got one adversary, so don't add to that and beat yourself. You're in Christ, no condemnation. The righteousness of God. The helmet of salvation. That's our mind. So important. Our meditations, our thoughts. Paul said, take captive every thought. Judge it. And bring it in submission to the obedience of Christ. You have a pain in your body. Some people automatically, oh, that's cancer. Oh, stop it. The shield of faith, which quenches every fiery dart of the enemy. The sword of the Spirit. Woo, I tell you, we could park on any one of these. Prophesy your own deliverance. Get you some word. Get you some word. God told Joshua, don't let the law depart from your mouth. Get you some word. Read it back to God. Read it. To confess it over your situation. Just tell the Lord, I am yours. I'm his. I don't belong to the enemy. He's not my God. The lies, the accusations, no power. Father, we renounce every soul tie. We renounce every identification with trickery and tradecraft, smoke and mirrors that would deceive, the bait that would say, take me, believe me. We fall out of agreement with that. In the name of the Lord, what would you say in place of the lie? What would you declare over our life? Just while we're here, just kind of come out of agreement with a few things. They could be fears, phobias, anxieties, concerns, Just come out of agreement with it. And then think of a promise that corresponds to that to put in its place. What would God say? Let's throw our hands up to the Lord. Let's say this out loud. Dear Jesus, I am yours and you are mine. I was bought with a price, the precious blood of Jesus. Therefore, I belong to him. I'm his inheritance, his possession. Therefore, you're able to keep me with your keeping power. I put the enemy under my feet and I fall out of agreement with any and all of his lies. For if God is for me, who can be against me? How dare anyone lay any charge against God's elect? I am the elect of God, his treasured possession. Therefore, I shake off the warfare and the wrong mindsets. Lord, I commend them to your grace. And I pray right now that just any arrow that snuck through the armor would be plucked and pulled out, any flaming arrow. And Lord, I just pray water to be upon that, the anointing of your spirit and the balm of Gilead right now to replace it. And I thank you for the faith to begin again in those usual ruts of thought in the name of the Lord.